Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And with me today is Master Gardener Mary Jane Bonalitz, and we'll be discussing hydrangeas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
So today we'll be discussing hydrangeas, and when we're talking about that, are we mentioning a cultivar, a species, or a genus?
Hydrangea is actually a genus. There are many cultivars within that genus. There's a number of species, too, within that, but it is a genus that is native to Asia as well as the Americas. There's many types of hydrangea. It's a woody perennial, and hydrangeas come in shrubs, which can be like from 3 feet in diameter to upwards of 20 feet
wow.
high and 10 feet wide. Mm-hmm. They can also be climbing vines as well as small trees, a big group of plants, as well as a number of cultivars. Within the biggest group of hydrangea, there are over 600 cultivars in that group, so it's a huge number.
So there's probably one for anything you need it to do in your garden.
Just about. They're very versatile. You know, you can use hydrangea as a hedge. They can be border plants, as I said, container plants. They can be used as a statement piece in your yard, or they can be a filler piece in your yard.
So generally, is there a particular condition and environment that hydrangeas prefer, or is that dependent upon the specific cultivar or species?
There is a particular environment they prefer. Most hydrangeas prefer full sun, which is 6+ hours of sunlight a day. There are some species that tolerate sun better than others. For instance, the big leaf hydrangea, which most of us are familiar with, it's the one that our moms had in the yard, which are the pink and blue. They're called mop heads or big leaf or macrophylia is the Latin name there. They don't tolerate direct sun for huge periods of time without any dappling of the sun at all. Whereas you take a hydrangea pediculata, which is the other biggest group of hydrangea, they are much more sun tolerant as well as drought tolerant than the other hydrangea that we have. They tolerate most all soil types as long as it's well draining. So that said, if you have clay soil, you have to amend it so it's well draining.
No bogs.
Yeah, exactly. These are not your water plants. Also, that's kind of a joke because hydrangea, hydro is in hydrangea, which the biggest thing about a hydrangea and the success for having one is that they need to be watered really well, really deep, really consistently. They do not tolerate drying out at all. That's where you get the leaf curl and the browning of the edges of the leaves. It looks like they're drying out. And it's true, they are. Mm-hmm. They are low maintenance. You do need to fertilize them usually in the spring. And then it's best to do them again once in the early to mid-summer. And then no more fertilizer. And in our climate, it's not so important, but you can mulch them over the winter to make sure that they don't get too much cold, although we don't really get that cold here. So they are considered a relatively low maintenance plant, which is one of the reasons that you would want to consider having a hydrangea. Mm-hmm. Some of the other reasons that our hydrangea are really wonderful to have is that they're very stunning. Their
yes.
flowers are showy. They're long-lasting blooms. As I said, they're very versatile with being in hedges, in containers, in borders. They have year-round interest with their flowers, usually blooming from spring to fall. They also have beautiful fall colors in their leaves. And then if you leave them on the stems and don't prune them back in the fall, you have beautiful texture throughout the winter. I've seen pictures of snow on hydrangeas that are dried on the plant. It's beautiful.
Hmm.
They attract pollinators, and they also provide beautiful cut flowers, used many times in weddings. The flowers are thought to be for gratitude, understanding, heartfelt emotion, so beautiful for weddings. They also can be dried and used in dried flower arrangements.
Well, I'm sold on them now. I want to put some in my garden. Is now a good time of year to establish new hydrangeas?
The best time for any perennial, and hydrangeas are no different, is to do it in the fall.
Mm.
You can start them now, and they're certainly being advertised now for sale. Big advertisements right now. But most perennials do better planting in the fall and having the winter to get established, get well watered with the rains that we have throughout the winter, mm-hmm. and then be ready to go in the spring and grow real strong. When you are planting them, you want to dig a hole that's 2 times the root ball. Now, I ordered a hydrangea recently that came, and it wasn't in a root ball. It was bare root. Mm. And so you have to just estimate the root ball then. But usually if you've got 2 feet by 2 foot hole, it's great. You want to amend it with some compost. And then as you remove it from the pot, gently tweeze the roots that might be circling the bottom so that they...
loosen it up a little.
Exactly. And then put the center it over the top of the hole that you've planted and making sure that the top of the root ball is right at the surface. So you don't want it to be down below the surface where you're going to get rot there. Mm. You want to water and then mulch around it to hold that water into the soil. It keeps it from evaporating. But don't mulch right up to the stem or the trunk of the plant. You want to leave a couple inches around that, kind of like a donut, so it's not right up against the stem there.
Uh-huh. You don't want to suffocate it. Can you propagate hydrangeas?
You can. I have had experience propagating with stem cuttings. Mm. It's relatively easy. You want to take them in the late spring or early summer, and you just follow the normal propagation protocol where you put them in root hormone and then in a sterile soil of some kind. And then they take off. I actually took some from a parking strip, is what it was. I saw this plant that I just loved. It was a lace cap hydrangea. And I took a cutting from that, and it took off and became this huge shrub that I had. You can also do divisions, which is essentially dig and divide. All you need are several roots and shoots off of the division that you take, and then pot it up, and it will take off. What's also pretty cool about these is they can be dried, as I said, which is relatively easy to do. You just want to wait until the plant is fully bloomed, that there's not any parts of it that have not opened, which is usually late summer or early fall. You cut a long stem with several leaves on it, and then you hang it upside down in a warm, dry, dark place, nothing touching each other. So it needs to be just by itself with good circulation. And then depending on the humidity, it can take a couple of weeks for it to actually dry. But once dry, you just make sure it doesn't get in the sunlight or any moisture, and you've got hydrangeas for the rest of your life.
Do they generally bloom every year?
They do. There's two that I really want to talk about. The big leaf hydrangea, which is the mop head or lace cap that I talked about, that are pink or blue. They do bloom every year. They bloom on what's called old wood, which is a little confusing. The best way for me to understand it is that when I'm pruning a big leaf hydrangea, I want to just prune away right after it blooms. I want to prune just the head of that hydrangea back to a new set of good leaves. Don't prune back anything else because you're going to cut off the wood that will bloom next year.
Uh-huh.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is that you can change the pH in this particular kind of hydrangea.
Like a science experiment.
Right. Change the pH changes the color. If it is an alkaline soil or a soil that's greater than 6.5 pH, that's a pink hydrangea. And if you want to make it more pink, you add garden lime to that, and it increases the alkalinity of the soil. The blue hydrangea are ones that are in acid soil, and that's less than 5.5 pH. And if you want to move the soil more toward that range, you want to add aluminum or elemental sulfur to the soil. Purple supposedly is between the two, which 5.5 to 5.6. And then white, you can't change the pigment in a white hydrangea because they don't have pigment.
Mm.
That said, it takes an awful lot of perseverance to change the color. I've rarely seen it successful. Mm. I've seen you be able to enhance the hue a little bit, but not actually change it. And this is specific to the big leaf hydrangeas. The other group that I wanted to talk about is called hydrangea paniculata, or the panicle hydrangea, which are the cone-shaped ones. A very popular cultivar of this is Limelight, which is a very big, usually 10 to 12 foot tall and 10 to 12 foot wide hydrangea that is lime colored. It starts out kind of a lime colored, and then it goes white and then to kind of a pink color as the season goes on. So as it gets older and older, it gets into kind of a blush color, I would say, not really pink, but more of a blush color. Very popular and very prolific. It will bloom and bloom and bloom. What I really like about this hydrangea is that they are cold and sun tolerant, much more than any other hydrangea. So if you have any concerns, this is what I would highly recommend. What's great about the hydrangea paniculata also is the fact that you can prune them pretty much as you would prune normally. You don't have to worry about old wood versus new wood. You can prune them back to up to a third of their size. They bloom on new wood, so whatever you cut back is still going to bloom next year, so you don't need to worry about cutting off any potential blooms. Prune these in late winter or early spring, but before there's going to be any new growth on the plant.
So right about now, probably.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't think I mentioned this before. They're not deer or rabbit resistant
at They're all. A good snack.
They are a good snack for these animals, at least. They also are considered to be toxic if you ingest copious amounts of the plant. I can't imagine who would do that.
Maybe small kids, perhaps.
Small kids or pets. They also are prone to aphids, spider mites, powdery mildew, leaf spot, and unfortunately, bacterial wilt. They aren't without their problems, but if you care for them and keep them healthy, they should be able to resist that pretty well.
So what should people be looking out for to notice problems with their hydrangea?
The thing that I would watch for most importantly is any kind of stress that they're under, particularly if it looks like they're underwatered. Mm. The second they experience any kind of drought, they're going to suffer, and then they become vulnerable to pests and any kind of diseases that might be around. So I think keeping them watered is paramount to the success of having a hydrangea.
Do you have any other useful information for listeners about hydrangeas?
I would say research, because there's many types, and have fun with them. They're a wonderful plant.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let's chat garden tips. If you're thinking about starting a garden this spring, either because you haven't grown one before or because you've moved recently, it's a great idea to get your soil tested. It's also valuable to get your soil tested regularly even if you've grown a garden in the same spot before, just to make sure that you have the correct pH and nutrient levels. Soil testing can be a little costly, but you can lose way more money if your plants are unable to grow effectively due to incorrect soil conditions. OSU has a soil testing service that you can find more about by emailing soil.lab@oregonstate.edu. When you take samples, make sure to use clean tools and sample only the part of the soil that the bulk of the plant roots will grow in, which is usually the top 6 inches of soil, but not any mulch. Make sure there is no mulch in the samples, as it can skew results. If you need further assistance, contact the Lincoln County OSU Extension Office at 541-574-6534 or email soil.lab@oregonstate.edu. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!